Manx Radio's update with Beth Espy.
Vastamai, good evening. Welcome to the programme. We'll bring you some more details about the top stories making the headlines today, including what do you make of the language some Manx politicians are using online? Well, one Ramsey MHK has labelled fellow members of Tynwald clowns, while an Onchan MHK says this falls well below the standard the public expects from elected representatives. We'll hear more in a few minutes. Also coming up, Keys meets for the first time in this year tomorrow, with one of the first items on the agenda being last week's school closures because of the snow. And we know the future of the Manx Grand Prix Supporters Club is in the balance. Members will decide later next month whether the group will continue. We'll have the traffic and the travel, the weather, and you can text us. It's 166 177. We'll start with a roundup of the main news headlines with Amy Fastamai.
Fastamai. Patients at Palatine Group Practice will have to book their appointments in a different way from tomorrow. Going forward, all queries will be triaged by a GP, then either booked or signposted to the most appropriate care. A Ramsey MHK says his comment referring to clowns in Tynwald was intended to be light-hearted. Laurie Hoop has come under fire by one of his House of Keys colleagues, Onchan member Rob Callister, for the remark in an online post.
We apply the Nolan principles about leadership, accountability, openness, transparency, and I think he's failed on that.
Government's emergency planning officer says the island has to prepare for things it hopes will never happen. Jane Kelly, who also leads the civil defence team, has been speaking to Manx Radio after last week's snow day, which saw schools, buses and the island's airport disrupted by wintry conditions.
We have to spend money potentially on things which will never happen, have shelf lives on them and just become obsolete. But we have to invest in some things to keep us resilient.
A global challenge hoping to connect women who love motorbikes is coming to the Isle of Man later this month. The Women's Riders World Relay has already united more than 20,000 riders from 102 countries worldwide. Lisa Brain is the ambassador over here and is organising the event on the 25th of January.
All women who either ride on road, off road, doesn't matter what size of bike, whether you're on an L plate, R plate, there's no limit to who can come.
Turning to international news now, and the British technology ministers announced creating non-consensual intimate images will be an offence in the UK, coming into law this week. Liz Kendall's been updating MPs on a formal investigation launched by the regulator Ofcom into the AI chatbot Grok, found on X. There are reports it's being used to create sexualised images of women and children. It's understood ex-Tory Chancellor Nadeem Zahawi has asked for a seat in the House of Lords several times, but didn't get one. He's joined Reform UK, leading to allegations it's becoming a party of has-beens. And campaigners have welcomed the launch of the world's first autistic Barbie doll. Created with input from the neurodivergent community, it has loose clothing and noise-cancelling headphones. Those are your headlines. I'll be back with the news in full at 6.
Thank you very much indeed, Amy. Now the weather brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. So it'll stay cloudy this evening and over the night, just the small risk of an odd shower. There'll be fresh winds, minimum temperatures around 7, and then a spell of rain is going to arrive early tomorrow morning. That should clear away by lunchtime though. The rest of the day will be dry, some sunshine breaking through in the afternoon. Fresh southwest winds, they'll veer to the northwest and ease as that rain clears, with a top temperature tomorrow of around 8. And then looking ahead to Wednesday, a dry start, but that's going to turn cloudy ahead of rain arriving later in the afternoon.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674 573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbrough Trading Estate.
It's coming up to 4.5 minutes past 5 here on Update. So let's talk about the language then used by some Manx politicians online. This follows a fallout on social media, as we just heard from Amy, after the Ramsey MHK Laurie Hooper referred to some Tynwald members as clowns. Onchan representative Rob Callister says that remark falls well below the standards expected of elected representatives.
We have gone through a very difficult period in respect of all of the challenges we faced as an island. And I think it's really has been difficult to get through the cost of living crisis, to get through the energy crisis, to recover from COVID. And we know there's so much more work needs to be done in the future. But to have a colleague stand up and call his colleagues clowns is totally inappropriate. And I think it probably does go against the Tynwald standing sort of orders, you know, which we abide by. Do I want to make a formal complaint about him? No. And I just hope he reflects more on his language, because this job is tough enough. And when you've got somebody making statements like that, all it does is put pressure on everybody else when we're trying to explain to our constituents how difficult this process is, because they are telling us that things are difficult. They're telling us that the cost of living is really hurting them. They're telling us that finding property on the Isle of Man, rental and first-time buyers, is difficult. You know, that accessing services, hospitals and everything else is difficult. It doesn't help when you've got a colleague absolutely just trying to put the boot in to score a point, which is point to me.
And yet, what Laurie Hooper says, that the particular reference to some Tynwald members being clowns, I think he'd said that hopefully we'll get rid of some of the clowns from Tynwald. What would you call it? Popular parlance, isn't it? You know, it's the sort of thing that the person on the bus, the person in the pub would say as a kind of off the cuff remark about politics.
Mr. Hooper is not a person in the pub. He is a member of the House of Keys, elected by his constituency in Ramsey. We apply the Nolan principles about leadership, accountability, openness, transparency. It is up to him to set the leadership on that. And I think he's failed on that particular post.
That is Rob Callister, MHK, talking to Phil. We did invite the Isle of Man government to respond to those comments made by Mr. Laurie. We haven't heard back yet. We did ask Mr. Hooper, if he'd like to talk as well, but he declined to say anything further. It's coming up to 7 minutes past five. Now, the way patients book appointments at Palatine Group Practice will be changing from tomorrow morning. The GP says the new system will allow fairer access for all patients, as Siobhan Fletcher reports.
From Tuesday the 13th of January, all queries will be triaged by a GP and then booked or signposted to the most appropriate care required. Patients will have to visit an NHS webpage where they'll be required to answer a series of questions. That link will be available from 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday to Friday. The results of the questionnaire will then be forwarded to the practice's triaging clinician. All medical queries will be dealt with at this point, whilst any administrative queries like sick note requests, test result queries, referral follow-ups and so on will go to their admin team to action appropriately. Announcing the change on social media, the practice says, "We know not all patients have internet access. Our admin team can complete requests on behalf of these patients, or another person can submit online on their behalf." They're asking patients to bear with them while they commence the new system, adding, "It will be a huge change for both patients and staff, but we hope that this will work better all round."
That's Siobhan Fletcher reporting. There's more information and a link to that webpage at manxradio.com. It's 8 minutes past five, so there's been a lot of talk in the news today about the dark side of AI, artificial intelligence, and it does seem that the Isle of Man isn't immune to these issues. Now, over the weekend, police over here issued a warning about how the technology was being used or misused by some young people, and Lewis is with me now. Lewis, what do we know about why exactly this warning was put out?
So, first of all, yeah, as you may know, some artificial intelligence software can create new images according to a description or a prompt provided by the user. They can also alter existing photographs, changing the background, placing the subject in a different location to where the image was originally taken, changing the subject's facial expression, for example, or, and this is something that has sparked a lot of concern, change what they're wearing. Now, you might follow friends on social media who post an image of themselves suddenly looking very buff or jumping out of an aeroplane, for example. And as the technology advances, these types of images are getting more and more lifelike all the time. And according to Manx Police, some youngsters on the island are using this AI technology to bully or ridicule their peers by using it to create images that are, quote, rude or offensive. It's something school education officers say they've noticed a sharp increase in, both in school and out. Even more alarming, officers say some youngsters are choosing to make images that are or could be considered as prohibited or indecent.
So, Lewis, anyone who's been following the news today will likely have picked up on a similar issue further afield, won't they?
Yes, that's right. So while the Isle of Man Constabulary hasn't specified which AI software young people are using, it comes at a time of increased scrutiny of one in particular, Grok. Now, Grok is an artificial intelligence tool, a chatbot, which is available on X, formerly known as Twitter, before Elon Musk's takeover. Well, today, Ofcom, the media regulators, launched an investigation into Grok over reports that it's created and shared sexualized images of children, and it will be looking into whether the site has complied with UK law. UK Business Secretary Peter Kyle says it's right that it's properly investigated.
Ofcom are now doing an expedited investigation into whether they have stepped outside of the law or not. If they have, then this government expects the independent regulator and enforcement agency to enforce the law to the full extent of the law.
So following initial concerns over how Grok was being used, X made the chatbot available to paying subscribers only, something the UK government strongly criticised. Downing Street's confirmed all options are on the table in respect of Grok and that UK government accounts could leave X if concerns aren't addressed. Well, in the last hour, we've heard the UK technology ministers announce that creating non-consensual intimate images will be an offence, coming into law this week. Liz Kendall's been updating MPs on Ofcom's investigation.
This means individuals are committing a criminal offence if they create or seek to create such content, including on X. And anyone who does this should expect to face the full extent of the law.
Hear, hear, hear.
The Tories, meanwhile, say they are against an outright ban of the platform. Well, back here on the Isle of Man, police say using artificial intelligence to create or share inappropriate or sexualised images of others can amount to a criminal offence under the Sexual Offences and Obscene Publications Act 2021, with a sentence of up to 3 years. They say it's a fact many children and teenagers may not realise, but what may seem like a trend, a joke, or something done without thinking can quickly become something far more serious. The Isle of Man Constabulary says its school education officers are working closely with schools and young people to try to get this message across. In a message aimed at parents and guardians, it says, talking openly with young people about responsible use of AI can help prevent mistakes that have real-world consequences. It's also important to remind them that once something is shared online, it can be impossible to take back, and images can spread quickly, be saved by others, and remain online long after they intended.
So, Lewis, a very complicated issue and one we're planning to look into a little bit more.
Absolutely. We'll be speaking with police this week to hear more about what's being done to prevent this issue on the island. And if there is any parent listening whose child has experienced bullying of this kind or just wants to put their thoughts across, please do get in touch with the newsroom on 682 630 or email newsroom@manxradio.com. Meanwhile, the message from police is that anyone who's worried about someone's safety or has information about online exploitation should contact headquarters on 631 212, call 999 in an emergency, or report anonymously to Crime Stoppers on 0800 555 111.
Lewis, thank you very much indeed. It's 30 minutes past five, and if you cast your mind back to this time last week, you might remember it was pretty wintry on the Isle of Man. Freezing temperatures and snowfall meant the island's schools were closed, bus services were suspended for a time, and the island's airport was closed all day. But the majority of the island's main arterial routes remained open, in part thanks to the work of the Civil Defence. Jane Kelly is Government's Emergency Planning Officer and leads the Civil Defence team. She's been telling Phil just what goes into planning for weather events like last week.
It's a massive investment. They're not cheap machines, they're not cheap vehicles. Plus there's all the training that goes with it as well, that the drivers have to be competent with them. And, you know, in the big scheme of priorities for the DOI, I would imagine that having 20, 30 gritters sitting there isn't their priority. We see it in the UK. Scotland have a vast amount of gritters, but they have a massive area to cover. But even they're struggling with the recent weather, the storms and the snow over the last couple of days. So it's a balance, isn't it, of what do we need and where we allocate the funding for. And, you know, it has to be looked at, but we've got to be sensible with it as well. And emergency planning is one of those things where we plan mainly for things we hope will never happen. But we have to spend money potentially on things which will never happen, have shelf lives on them and just become obsolete. And it's money that people will see as being wasted. But we have to invest in some things to keep us, you know, resilient.
And of course, the other thing, despite weather forecasters being pretty good at being able to predict when weather is going to be bad and how bad it's going to be and where it's going to hit, they're not infallible. You know, when you've got violent storms coming through, they have a habit of changing course.
They do. And Kirsty Wilding, who's the senior Met officer, spoke recently about the difficulties of forecasting on an island in the middle of the Irish Sea, because, you know, we get the weather from the west, but that tends to be wet. From the north brings in the colder air, but sometimes it does miss us. And so we put plans in place and we twiddle our thumbs and we wait, and then nothing happens or a very small effect. And we're very conscious as well as of misleading the public and crying wolf too many times. But actually, it's that planning. We can only go of the information and the intelligence we have at the time, and historical data as well, you know, of when we saw this weather pattern last time, how did it affect us? So we have to plan. We can't just leave it to the last minute. And sometimes our plans are there and nothing happens and we breathe a sigh of relief. You know, it's quite thankfully that's happened. And other times we just have to reassess our plan all the way through what's happening, because, you know, plans are written for a reason, but they have to be flexible and change as things happen too.
That's Jane Kelly, Government's Emergency Planning Officer, talking to Phil there. Jane also leads the Civil Defence team, and you can hear more from her on the latest episode of Perspective. It's available now as a podcast at manxradio.com. And Jane's also encouraging everyone to sign up for those Everbridge notifications. So that's a service that sends you a text and email when there are amber or red weather warnings, and you can find a link about how to do that on the Manx Radio website as well. You are listening to Update here on Manx Radio, and we were listening to Rob Callister talking to Phil at the start of the programme. Andy's been in touch to say Rob Callister calls for openness and transparency, yet looking at the register of members' interests, there doesn't appear to be up to date for lots of members, some unbelievably not ever having received gifts or benefits. Current members can't police themselves, and time for a change, says Andy. We did do a full report on the members' interests, actually. I'll find the link to it and repost it so we can listen back to that. 17 minutes past five now.
Manx Radio Travel, serviced by Quayside Tyres.
So nothing to report on the police pages this evening. Quite a few roadworks out and about. Certainly in Onchan, there are temporary lights on Whitebridge Hill 24 hours a day. Also at the top of Royal Avenue, that's for electrical works until 6 this evening. So not long to go on those. Also temporary lights on Harbour Road at the Sunningdale Drive Junction. That's 24 hours a day. That's for a gas leak. In Braddon, still that short stretch of Saddle Road one way. And also there are temporary lights still on Core Road. That's near the business park, 24 hours a day. In Ballasalla, the Crossick Road is closed until 4 p.m. tomorrow. It'll then be closed from 9:30 to 4 p.m. daily on Wednesday, Thursday and Friday. That's for overhead line works. And near Peel all this week, the switchback is closed for patching works. Looking down at the steam packet, so the Manxman left Heysham at 23 minutes past three. It's getting into Douglas at about seven. It obviously means that it's going to be a later scheduled departure time. So everybody asked to go to check in no later than 7:30. So it's probably going to go about 8:15 this evening, but all looking okay down at the airport. One very slight delay on the London Gatwick flight.
Manx Radio Travel, serviced by Quayside Tyres. Call Quayside Tyres on 664417 to book your free vehicles winter check, so your vehicle is safe for you and other road users.
It's 18 and a half minutes past five now. So we're just hearing about the snow event last week, and that delay in telling people a week ago whether the Isle of Man schools would be closed because of that adverse weather will see the Education Minister getting to her feet in the House of Keys tomorrow to explain her and her officers' actions. John Moss has this report.
If you don't have school-age children around the house, the snow and ice a week ago may have produced problems, but not as acute as for those who wanted to know if they were expected to deliver youngsters to the classrooms. Thousands of households waited by their radios to hear a promised government announcement as to whether schools would be open. On Manx Radio's breakfast show, the team were poised, waiting.
We're expecting to hear imminently whether the island schools will be reopening today as snow and ice continues to cause travel disruption on the island. The Isle of Man government is due to be making the decision around now.
Well, it's all quiet on the Western Front at the moment as far as the island schools are concerned. Government did say last night that a decision would be made by 7 o'clock this morning as to whether the schools would reopen after there'll be so many people listening to us now. to wait and see whether the schools are going to be open today. No announcement as yet.
Later on, a spokesperson said, when an amber weather warning is issued, the Isle of Man government activates a strategic coordinating group where school closures are determined to be the safest option. A recommendation will be given to the Minister for Education. A recommendation to close schools is not taken lightly, given the significant economic and other impacts to the island. In this case, due to significant ice on roads, footpaths and within school boundaries, a decision was taken to delay opening schools in the interests of public safety. In addition, the bus network had already been suspended due to the conditions of the roads. Unfortunately, the hope for improvement in the conditions did not materialise, and the decision was ultimately made to close schools for the day. The Strategic Coordinating Group apologises for the short delay in issuing the promised update at 7 a.m. yesterday, and any inconvenience caused, this was due to an extended meeting and a need to finalise details of the government's response. Well, tomorrow, in Key's Questions, there are four inquiries from different members allied to that incident. It's likely the minister's answer will be very similar to the statement I've just read out.
That is John Moss reporting, and we'll bring you the details of what happens in the House of Keys on tomorrow's programme. 21 minutes past five. Now, the Manx Grand Prix Supporters Club have said they will vote on whether to dissolve the charity next month. Following concerns over the future of the club, the charity posted an update on its Facebook page, and Darren Timpson has the details.
Over the weekend, the club issued a short statement after their latest committee meeting, saying a vote is set to take place on the 26th of February. The charity announced only last month that dissolution was a possibility due to changing objectives of the club over time, a lack of younger people getting involved in the setup, and increasing regulations around volunteering. Chairman Adam Brew told Manx Radio in December what would need to be done to keep the supporters' club alive.
The current committee, we have to be persuaded why the club should continue, and we would welcome any sort of feedback from the membership to answer that question. If we were to wind down, any funds that we have would then be transferred to like-minded charities such as the Manx Grand Prix Benevolent Fund. Our other main support that we do is for the injured riders. That would continue with the MGP Benevolent Fund.
The charity, which supports injured riders and their families and since 2022 has helped newcomers with injury costs, celebrated its 50th anniversary last year. More details on the votes, including the venue, will be announced in due course.
Darren Timpson reporting. 22 minutes past five. So it's January, it's cold, maybe people aren't venturing out as much as they normally would. So with that in mind, Douglas City Library is hoping its new weekly coffee mornings are going to get people out socialising and also help combat loneliness during what can be a difficult time of year. City librarian Jan McCartney has been talking to local Democracy reporter Emma Draper about the Winter Warmer scheme.
Our Winter Warmer coffee mornings are in response to a national scheme, actually, which is called the Warm Welcome Campaign, which is a UK-wide campaign. But we want it to get involved. And what we do is every Friday morning between 9 and 12, we offer everybody who comes in through the door a warm drink of their choice, so coffee, tea, hot chocolate. And there's always a tray of biscuits and treats there. And the idea is that to get people in that maybe are feeling a bit lonely, a bit isolated. As we know, January is a really tough month because the weather's so awful. It's also a way of, you know, if you're wanting to save on your heating, the library's a lovely, warm, bright space, friendly, welcoming. So we thought that would be a really nice idea to have it every Friday morning so people can come in and connect with one another, sit round the table and have a nice old natter. But equally, for people who don't want that, but don't want to chat particularly, but want to be in a social space, we have lots of comfy chairs dotted around the library. We've got a study area downstairs, which has got comfy seating as well.
How important is it for you guys at the library here to run these kinds of schemes and projects? How important do you feel that as part of your service is that you can offer these kinds of things?
Hugely important. Really, libraries nowadays, as I said, they're more than just books, they're community hubs. They are somewhere in a community where everyone is welcome. We offer our services is intergenerational. We're a community hub, and I just want everybody to know that everybody is welcome and it's a free service.
How popular has the Winter Warmer Spaces been this year so far?
it's getting more popular. Our regular users love it, and it is a lovely way to thank them, actually, for coming in so often that they get a free cup of tea and biscuits. As you imagine, Duke Street is such a popular walk-through, and people might be going to buy coffees that are costing them, you know, £3, £4, £5 when they can come in the library and have one for free. For anybody who is coming in, venturing into town, instead of spending your money that way, come and join us and have a chat. Or don't, if you like, if you just want to sit and be quiet in the library. It's up to you, really. But that's what we'd love more people to come in and partake of it.
That's Douglas City Librarian Jan McCartney talking about the library's winter warmer coffee mornings. They're run between 9 a.m. and 12 noon every Friday, and those visiting will receive a free hot drink and a biscuit. What's not to love? 25 past five. Now, Update Sport is brought to you by The Print Shed, and here is Darren with the latest Fastamai.
And starting with FC Isle of Man, it wasn't to be for Rick Holden's side on Saturday as they started the new year with a defeat to Bursko at the Ball. The away side took the lead through Tom Crocken just before half-time, and the game stayed that way until the final whistle. It's two defeats in a row now for FC Isle of Man, where they also haven't scored a goal in either. They'll now have a 9-day wait until their next game against West Didsbury and Chorlton on Wednesday, the 21st of January. Staying with football, and Colby have gone top in the Arden and Drogon Division 2. They beat St George's 2-1 to jump ahead of Castletown, who had a game against Moran postponed. Elsewhere, there were wins for Paul Rose and Malou, the latter of which beat Douglaston District 11-0. In the Canada Life Premier League, Corinthians and Peel both took maximum points as the race for the title starts to heat up. The Whites beat Douglas Old Boys 3-1, while the Westerners edged out Union Mills 2-1. Meanwhile, Braddon, St John's and Onken also won. Finally, a team in Combination 1 reached an unwanted milestone on Saturday. Foxdale conceded 8 goals in a defeat to Braddon, which means they now have a goal difference of minus 100. On to rugby, and Ramsey finally took their first win of the season on Saturday. The Northerners beat Hoylake 41-28 in the County 3 ADM Lancashire. Meanwhile, Vagabonds were beaten by 7 points away to Ormskirk. And in the Regional 2 Northwest, Douglas got back to winning ways. They beat Burnage 34-21. And in hockey, there were big wins for men's sides Vikings A and Backers A in the start of the 2026 season at the weekend. Vikings A beat Vikings B 13-0, while Backers A put 10 past Castletown A in the Men's Premier League. Elsewhere, Harlequins A beat Valkyries A. And in the Ladies Premier League, there was only one game played after two postponements. Vikings A beat Castletown B 3-0.
Thank you very much indeed, Darren. Well, that is pretty much all from Update this evening. Thank you so much for your company as ever. You can find out more about all tonight's top stories on the Manx Radio website. Coming up next then, it's Agenda with Phil. And tonight he's talking to the Onken MHK Rob Callister, who was in the Falkland Islands last month. It was part of a Commonwealth Parliamentary Association team of election observers. Now, this trip, it wasn't funded by the taxpayers, but tonight you'll hear what the Isle of Man can learn from such ventures. And actually, there's a 90% turnout in Falkland's elections, so it seems trust in politicians is seemingly much higher there than it is here. Hear more about that with Phil coming up just now. Then at 6 p.m, it's Greatest Hits with Chris Kinley. After that, Time for Brass with Ian Cottier. And then Dave will be with you with After Hours from 10. So whatever you're doing this evening, have a good one. Update will be back at 5 tomorrow.